Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. The latest Republican-led effort to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act is over. Senate leadership pulled the Graham-Cassidy bill due to lack of support, but GOP leadership is vowing to continue the effort next year. The failure of the Graham-Cassidy bill took place against the backdrop of another looming deadline. Congress has until this Saturday to take action on reauthorizing federal funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, which provides access to health care for nearly 9 million children across the nation, including some 340,000 kids in Florida alone. Health policy analysts worry that inaction by Congress could work to derail progress that's been made in recent years regarding rates of uninsured children across the country. Last week, the Georgetown University Health Policy Institute's Center for Children and Families released a new analysis on the status of health insurance coverage for children in the U.S. Nationally, the rate of uninsured kids in 2016 continued to fall to 4.5%. That reflects a net increase of about 250,000 children who gained coverage last year that didn't have it before. The report finds that the rate of uninsured children in Florida reached a record low of 6.2%. Joining me now for a closer look at the report's finding is Joan Alker. She's the executive director of the Center for Children and Families and a research professor at Georgetown University. Joan Alker, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks so much for having me.
Listeners can join our conversation as well with your comments and questions at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Joan Alker, from a national perspective, tell us more about what your analysis found regarding this trend of more and more kids getting health care coverage. Is it as positive as it sounds?
Yeah, it really is. And I bet we're all happy to have some good news for a change. And this has been a positive trend that's been going on nationwide for actually many years now, thanks to Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and more recently, the Affordable Care Act. Florida has actually been making progress as well, but it's been lagging behind the nation. But in Florida, in 2009, almost 15% of children were uninsured in Florida. And as you mentioned, in 2016, that rate went down to 6.2%. So that time period, the number of uninsured kids in Florida has been cut by more than half.
Well, so that's good news.
It absolutely is.
Which is rare, especially in the health care world. So where does the data come from that you used in your analysis from this report? Is this just from data from the U.S. Census Bureau's American Community Survey?
Yes. That's right. Yep, it's all Census Bureau data. So, and, you know, interestingly, I think many people are not aware of this good news. We did a poll in the fall, and about half of Americans thought the number of uninsured children was going up, when in fact it's been going down for many years, and only about a quarter of Americans were aware of that.
So the report considers data from two different perspectives. One is looking at the year-over-year gains made in coverage for kids in 2016, and the other perspective considers what's occurred over a three-year period from 2013 to 2016. Why is it important to consider these two different timelines?
Well, the reason we looked at the period 2013 to 2016 is because, as you know, in 2014, the major provisions of the Affordable Care Act came into place. So what we've seen is, as I mentioned, we have seen progress for many years in reducing the uninsured rate thanks to Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program. But we've seen the ACA has really accelerated that progress. And particularly in Florida, just in that time period, 2013, you've seen a decline from 11.1% down to 6.2%. So Florida is actually one of the states that made the greatest progress in that time period.
And that's rare for Florida also, because they tend to not have a great record here as far as having well-insured children. But from what I understand, Florida still kind of ranks towards the bottom when you look at all the states and the number of children that are insured.
That's absolutely true. And I think many people are surprised to hear that Florida has one of the highest rates of uninsured children in the South when you look just at that region. In fact, Florida used to have the highest. In 2016, actually, Georgia has just overtaken you as the lowest ranked in the South at 6.5%. And many folks are surprised to hear that the star of the South is Alabama. Alabama now has almost 98% of their children covered.
Wow. So what is the problem with Florida? Why is Florida having such a hard time getting their kids insured?
Well, you know, Florida has been making great progress, as we just talked about. It's just been slower. than we've seen in some other states. And I think there's a few reasons for that. One reason is likely the fact that Florida has not done the Medicaid expansion for parents and other adults, because we know that helps to bring kids into the program. But that doesn't explain it all, because, of course, Alabama hasn't done that either. I think, you know, states where we've seen enormous progress have really been saying yes to coverage for whole families, but also they've really sort of made this a priority to simplify enrollment. Florida also charges premiums in your CHIP program, and that can be a deterrent for kids to enroll. So there are a number of ways in which Florida runs its program that has led to slower progress. But again, I think it's important to note that Florida really has made progress. What's really a problem is that funding for CHIP is running out on Saturday if Congress doesn't act, and it doesn't look like they're going to meet that deadline.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit more specifically about the failed Graham-Cassidy bill in a little bit, but since you just brought it up, the most important looming deadline is that September 30th. Without congressional action, what's going to happen to federal funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program?
So the good news is that many states, including Florida, won't run out of funding immediately. Florida estimates it will run out of funding not until January, but there are 10 states that will run out starting in October, sometime that quarter. And so, unfortunately, we also think there will be a number of states that move to free enrollment in the Children's Health Insurance Program if Congress doesn't meet the deadline or act very quickly. I mean, Congress could act next week, and that would mostly be fine. But what's really troubling here is that we actually had some really promising movement on this issue a few weeks ago. Senator Hatch, who's the chair of the Finance Committee in the Senate, made a deal with Senator Wyden, the ranking Democrat, and they have a CHIP extension. It's actually a pretty solid agreement for kids, but that got waylaid by the Graham-Cassidy effort. So the progress has stalled out. I know there's interest in reviving that movement forward, but I don't see any way that Congress does actually meets the deadline of Saturday. So again, it's if they can do it very quickly and do a long extension, that will, I think, address the problems. But I'm just not sure how quickly they're going to get to another health policy issue.
They may be a little shy of dealing with health policy at all after what they've just gone through. But so you mentioned that there are 10 states that are probably going to be running out of money as soon as October. Which states are those?
Well, sometime between October and December, the following states are projected to run out of money: California, Oregon, Idaho, Utah, Nevada, Arizona, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Hawaii.
And that amounts for how many children?
That's a good chunk. California alone has a good chunk of the kids on the program, so I don't have a precise number, but it's a decent number. And I think, you know, what's also really important to think about here is that this is not a good way to run a program. Interestingly, the Graham-Cassidy bill was premised on this idea that states can do better. They wanted to run everything through a block grant. In fact, they were running their money through CHIP. And they said, everybody loves CHIP, so this is a great idea. Well, everybody may love CHIP, but then how come it's expiring? That's not really a very comforting sign. And quite frankly, in defense of states, it's very hard to run a good program if you don't know what your funding's going to be or what the rules are going to be. States really would have liked to have, you know, 6 months to a year notice. But again, here we've got 4 days left.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Graham-Cassidy bill proposed using CHIP funding to run a new block grant program. What's the issue with the block grant program when it comes to assurances that people are looking for in terms of pre-existing condition protections? But Graham-Cassidy, obviously, it's already failed, but do you think that that block grant program idea is going to be a continuum?
I think we're certainly going to see more efforts in Congress. They are in favor of block granting Medicaid. They've made that clear. And the reality is, you know, the CHIP program has been very successful, but that's only because it's really sitting on the shoulders of a strong Medicaid program. Medicaid financing is guaranteed, and so if Florida's Medicaid demands go up, if you have more families who are unemployed perhaps because of a hurricane disrupting local economies, you don't have to worry about Congress taking action. Medicaid funding will automatically adjust, and that's the problem with block grants. And we can see the problem. CHIP is Exhibit A here, since its funding is running out on Saturday and Congress has yet to take action. So it's a very different situation when you have a block grant than when you have a program like Medicaid, which has guaranteed funding.
So is CHIP currently a block grant?
Yes, it is. It is a block grant.
So this would be kind of a continuation of that block grant kind of status and then having to
do it over every time.
CHIP,
that's right. Now, CHIP has been a very well-funded block grant. Most of the time when you see Congress block grant something over time, they really cut the funding, but that really hasn't happened to CHIP. You know, heretofore, we've had some issues in the Bush years. President Bush did veto a CHIP reauthorization, and Congress was not able to override that. But really, overall, we've had pretty strong bipartisan support for CHIP.
So currently, CHIP is what has 340,000 children in Florida able to have health insurance. How would the If this does not get reauthorized, how quickly would Florida be running out of its funding?
Well, Florida is estimating at last check that their funds will run out in January. Depending on the impact of it's possible that the impact of the hurricane may speed that up a little. We don't know. That's just an estimate. So, but the reality is, even if Florida is not running out till January, the program has to count backwards from that, right? I mean, if they feel like they might have to freeze enrollment or take some measures, and also because they don't know how much funding Congress is going to give. Florida's budget has assumed full funding of this program, and your legislature, as you know, is out of session. That's potentially up to $200 million that may be at risk if Congress doesn't fully fund the program. So there's lots of questions here, both in terms of the funding, but also, I think, most importantly, for the security of families who rely on this program for their children's coverage. They need to have advance notice if it's going to be restricted.
And then another thing that's kind of muddying things up is that enrollment for the ACA is going to be different this year. It's shorter, potentially harder to figure out and to navigate. Is that going to be having an impact on people being able to even try to access the CHIP funding for their children anyway?
Well, you can enroll in Medicaid or CHIP at any time. They don't have limited enrollment like the marketplace, so that's good news. But I think there is a connection here. It's something that we call the welcome mat, and that is because you have seen, and I think this is one of the reasons Florida's uninsured rates have gone down for kids, is because parents have come into the marketplace with, in the past, there's been a lot of outreach and enrollment work in Florida. You have very robust marketplace enrollment. And a parent might come in and discover that their child is eligible for CHIP and sign them up during that process. So we may see that welcome mat effect not be as strong going forward.
But once people get their kids involved in CHIP, do they have to re-enroll every year?
They don't have to re-enroll every year, no. That's their choice. If they don't need CHIP any longer, they certainly don't have to re-enroll. But, yes, there is. It doesn't automatically continue year after year, if that's your question.
Yeah, I just wondered because I didn't know if they had to think about it every single time. So now we're down to 6.5%, and I guess more children do come online every year. So it could end up going back up, like you say, without that welcome mat effect of people being educated, the fact that it even exists or is available.
That's right. And then, of course, if Congress doesn't act quickly or Congress cuts the funding and Florida makes changes to their CHIP program, changes like temporarily freezing enrollment or raising premiums, those kinds of things could result in fewer children having coverage.
Is CHIP synonymous with the Florida Kid Care?
Yes. Florida actually has a pretty complicated system of children's coverage. Some of those kids are actually in Medicaid, and they're paid for by CHIP, and some of them are in separate CHIP programs, as we call them. But the vast majority of children in Florida who are receiving public coverage are in the Medicaid program, and I think listeners may be really pretty surprised to hear in Florida, 44% of all children are getting their health insurance coverage through Medicaid and CHIP, the vast majority through Medicaid.
So Florida state lawmakers have already started filing their bills for the state's 2018 state legislative session. It's going to kick off in January. What kind of information in this report would you want to highlight first and foremost for Florida state lawmakers as they're starting to craft the state's budget for another year?
Well, I think, it's really important for the legislature to be aware of this progress that's been made and make sure that that continues, not take any actions that would jeopardize that progress, and continue to look at ways to simplify enrollment in kids' coverage. That is, I think, building on success, but again, as we talked about, Florida still does have one of the highest rates in the South. So making sure, and there's lots of information out there about states that have really succeeded, like your neighbors in Alabama, to continue making progress, I think will be really important.
Well, at least it shows a little bit of return on investment in the fact that things are getting at least better. They are improving.
Oh, they've improved dramatically. You know, as I mentioned, it was 15% your uninsured rate in 2009. And there's a lot of research which shows that when children have health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP, not only does it help them access the health services they need, they have better educational outcomes, higher high school graduation rates, and better economic outcomes as adults. So this is a really good return on government investment.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to ask you. When state legislatures and the federal government don't really take those steps to ensure that children have access to medical care, what are some of the long-term consequences socially and economically that people might not consider?
Right. Well, think about it this way. If you have a third grader who has asthma, you know, asthma is a really pretty easy condition to treat, but you have to be able to access your primary care physician. You got to be able to access the medication that you need to keep your kid's asthma under control. And those things are very expensive if you're uninsured and you're a low-wage working family. So if that child is not able to get those medications, get their asthma under control, we know they're going to wind up in the ER and they're going to miss school. And missing school in third grade is very predictive of whether or not you're going to graduate. So those are some of the kinds of long-term consequences that happen when children are uninsured.
When they're uninsured, they're unable to get proper education. They're unable to focus, and a myriad number of things that end up rolling into adults.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. And access, you know, to hearing tests and screening and making sure that kids have eyeglasses when they need it. All of those kinds of things are vital for their educational success and the economic future of the country.
Are there any final thoughts that you want to leave us with regarding trends in the rates of uninsured children, the importance of reauthorizing this federal funding?
Well, I think it's really important for folks to understand that Medicaid and CHIP have made a huge difference here for kids, and we need Congress to act very quickly. Congress has been talking all year about taking coverage away from families, and this is an opportunity for them to act in a bipartisan way to get a win for children and families in Florida and nationwide.
All right. Well, thank you. We're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank my guest, Joan Alker. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
She is the executive director of the Georgetown University Health Policy Institute's Center for Children and Families and co-author of the report that we've been discussing today about rates of uninsured children in Florida. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.